live action rolling along here on MSG Plus and VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles, Adam Candy, Danielle Alvari, Ben Wilson. The gang's all here for the final hour of the week here on this show. The Nightcap, of course, follows us here on VSiN. Adam, let's go back to baseball here before Dave Ross joins us, talking about a fight night card in UFC, some news in next week's card in UFC 265, as well with one of the co-main events scratched because of a COVID positive case. But Adam, let's go to Major League Baseball. You mentioned it before, but an immediate dividend paid in Anthony Rizzo's stock for the New York Yankees.
Well, we will update you on both the New York teams here as Anthony Rizzo breaks a scoreless tie in Miami, and the Yankees go up 1-0. They were $1.65 favorites. Really, the development in this game for the Yankees is the continued resurgence of Jameson Taillon, who now has a 2.57 ERA over his last seven starts and really seems to be rounding into form, coming back off that second Tommy John surgery that he had. Yankees still have control of him next year as well. The contract for 2022, pregame total was 7.5, trending well under here with the Yankees and the Marlins. And at Citi Field, Jeff, Joey Votto, who in 2018 hit 12 homers in a full season, in 2019 hit 15 homers in a full season, I believe is now up to 9 in his last 7 games.
And 7 straight games now with a homer, with a 6th-inning solo blast off Drew Smith. Reds leading 3-1 over the Mets. Reds now minus 255 live. They close plus 126 on the money line.
Can I just add something here? By the way, if you have not seen Joey Votto's celebration off that home run, he goes full Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso and just starts taking both thumbs and going, me, me, me. It's awesome. That I just saw that for the first time.
Look, when you're hot, why not?
Awesome.
There for Joey Votto. In retrospect here, Adam, you like the over pre-flop, which, by the way, looked like a shoo-in early. You technically are behind now with that 7.5 plus 115 juice on the over. We knew Carlos Carrasco was going to go short in this game. He pitched pretty well after the first pitch of the game, gave up a homer to Jonathan India on the first pitch, and then after that, nothing. Only gave up one run in the 4 innings. But the Met bullpen that has been worked a ton recently has not looked good so far tonight.
And if you think that bullpen has been worked a ton recently, good luck with Jacob DeGrom now out until at least September. He was shut down once again, won't throw for at least 2 weeks. And Jeff, the timing couldn't be any worse for the Mets here, because it's just as the trade deadline passes, they do acquire Javi Baez to help the lineup out, but really they get this news without being able to go bolster the bullpen.
Well, and also, too, the rotation, I have to imagine the thought process was that DeGrom was going to be ready to go in 2 weeks like I thought he was going to be. And okay, they're getting Carrasco back, who was supposed to be the number three or even number two starter this year. They're hopeful Noah Syndergaard's going to pitch again this year. But that's one of those that I'm not going to buy that until I actually see him 60 feet, 6 inches away in a major league uniform, Adam.
Well, we've seen the Mets as big, big favorites to win the NL East. Jeff, any of the moves that you've seen today, whether it's the Javi Baez acquisition on the Mets or anything else that was done by the Phillies, getting Kyle Gibson, the Braves, and all the moves they've made, anything affects how you think about their ability to win the East?
No, because I don't. This is the problem with this division. Everyone else stinks. And I know there's a lot of noise this afternoon. Oh, Atlanta's made all these nice moves. All right, they added a bunch of outfielders who are, again, Jorge Soler can't play the outfield. That was, even though he is a great hitter and a great power bat, a weird fit. Adam Duvall has played well over his head the last year plus. Their pitching still is not any good, even with the addition of Richard Rodriguez from Pittsburgh. So I don't trust them. And look, every single time you think the Phillies have turned the corner, something disastrous happens to them. And tonight, they're getting smoked in Pittsburgh. It's 5-0 in the bottom of the fifth right now. Pirates all over the Phillies.
Vincent Velasquez is not a major league starting pitcher, but they keep trying to make it happen. Like, I don't really get it, but hopefully for them, Kyle Gibson, more importantly, Ian Kennedy at the back of the bullpen, which has been flammable for a second consecutive year.
Yeah, this is starting to feel like the 2006 NL Central, even though it ended well for the Cardinals that year. It is primetime action here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles. Adam Candy, Danielle Avari, Ben Wilson. Of course, we're on MSG Plus as well. And now we're going to go out to the Windy City of Stadium. Also, you've seen him on this network as well. It was in a few weeks ago on the Lombardi Line. All 7 days. I believe there's only 7 days in a week. So it was all week. Dave Ross here on VSiN a few weeks ago. Dave, let's just start you off with the MLB trade deadline. Of course, you do a daily baseball show on Stadium. And Dave, it's very rare that the trade deadline actually lives up to the hype. And this one not only lived up to the hype, it blew right through the hype.
Yeah, maybe the best trade deadline in the history of the trade deadline, I think, just for excitement. But here in Chicago, it's a day of mourning. I mean, the city is crestfallen. You can feel it here. They feel like there are no Cubs left from 2016. I'm sure Jason Hayward's like, hey, where'd everybody go? And Wilson Contreras, that's it. But you guys understand, and I'm sure the fan base here will try to understand it eventually, why the Cubs made all their moves today. But Craig Kimbrel going cross town to the White Sox today, that's big news here as well. So you feel like if you've got one of those future plays in the White Sox, you feel even better today. And if you had the over-under on the Cubs at the beginning of the year, boy, it's gonna be a very dangerous second half here, because it really looks like a Triple-A team they're going to field the rest of the way here. So clearly two different sides of the equation here in the Windy City today. White Sox fans even more optimistic about their futures, and the Cubs fans going, when is this going to turn around? And this could be a couple years now for a remake for the Cubs. Clearly 2016 is going to be in the rear view for a long time, and they're going to have to fall back on that, because the next couple years ahead look like you're going to be really tough times here in Chicago.
Well, and I mean, it certainly looks like it could be tough times for anybody trying to compete with the NL West, especially with what happened at the trade deadline. Maybe the two best players traded at the deadline both go from Washington to the Dodgers, but the Giants get Chris Bryant. The Padres make some additions as well. What'd you make of the additions in that division at the deadline?
I was a little bit surprised, because I thought initially we were hearing the reports that maybe Max Scherzer is going to go to San Diego, right? And you're like, wow, well, that's really going to shake up things for the Padres. And then, no, it turns out to be the Dodgers. And then, oh, by the way, you throw in Trey Turner. You know, I was in D.C. when Turner was coming up, and this was the guy, right? So while Mad Max in the short term looks like, man, he's there, and who knows what's going to happen, obviously, with the front of the rotation with Bauer there, whether he's going to be able to come back and play in the second half at all. But Trey Turner's a piece there for years to come. You got to love this move in the short term for LA, and you certainly have to love it in the long term as well.
Dave Ross with us right now here on Primetime Action. Of course, works for Stadium, hosts a few shows over at Stadium. We saw him on VSiN here about 2 weeks ago, hosting the Lombardi Line and other programs as well. Before we get over to this weekend's UFC card, and then a big card that had some big news for next week at UFC 265, I have one more baseball thing for you, because this trade deadline, as we said, totally outrageous. But the American League, now to me, with the moves specifically made by the White Sox, goes through the South side. And I know there are some people who buy into you can't have a guy who's a pure closer like Liam Hendricks pitch in the eighth inning with Craig Kimbrel now there. Dave, this makes the White Sox, to me, the hardest out in the American League, because they already have good top-of-the-line starting pitching, and now they have a bullpen that, to me, is the best in the American League.
I couldn't agree more. And again, you look at Tony La Russa, and people here at the beginning of the year with what happened with Mercedes and the whole fiasco with the Twins at the beginning of the year, they're like, oh, Tony doesn't know what he's going to do with this young club. You kidding me? He knows exactly what he's doing. He's fortifying that bullpen, as you mentioned right there. And then you have Eloy Jimenez already back, and he's already looking like he's back to being lights out like we thought he'd be at the beginning of the year. And Leon Robert's going to come back here before too long. So they're going to have literally two of the youngest gun in Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez back with an already potent offense. The bullpen is now, as you say, maybe the best in baseball. And oh, by the way, the starting pitching might be the best. Tony La Russa knows exactly what he's doing. Been there, done that manager right now. This is clearly the team to beat in all of baseball. Yes, Dodgers, all of baseball. I think it's the White Sox, and I love them at the break. They're going to coast in the second half, and Tony's going to get them ready for the postseason, set that rotation, set that bullpen. If Kimbrel is the eighth inning guy like Rivera was to John Wetland back in the 90s, I mean, this could be just a dynamic 7, 8, and 9 inning for the White Sox. They can shorten that game as if the starters needed any more help.
Oh, speaking right to my heart with a 96 Yankees reference right there. I feel very, very good right now. Dave, admittedly, on this desk, you have a couple of squares when it comes to evaluating the UFC, but we know you know things quite a bit better than that. Take us through the card this weekend, what you're anticipating, what you think we should be looking at.
I got to be honest with you guys, and obviously, if you're going to bet MMA here, certainly on smaller cards like we're going to have tomorrow night before we get to UFC 265 next week, obviously, people are going to play the main event, right? And it's a great main event when you're looking at Uriah Hall against Sean Strickland. And guys, what I always try to tell people, if you're going to wager and you look at the number and you go, I saw all week it's been around 210 for Strickland, I think plus 180 coming back for Uriah Hall. I don't know if it's changing out there in Vegas as we get closer to fights. But here's the thing about that fight that really intrigues me. When you look at Uriah Hall and who he's fought in the middleweight division, yeah, he's 18-9. Look at the nine losses. I mean, we're talking about literally he has fought the last three middleweight champions not named Israel Adesanya. He's been in there with Bobby Knuckles. He's beaten Anderson the Spider Silva. He split his fights with Chris Weidman. He's had two great fights against Gegard Mousasi, who's no longer in the UFC, who was one of the best middleweights in any organization. He's been in there with Kelvin Gastelum. He's been in there with Paulo Costa. I mean, you name a middleweight that's in the top five, Uriah Hall has been there. Sean Strickland has never fought an opponent inside the top 10. So when I look at this and I go, wait, I'm going to get that kind of value with Uriah Hall on the comeback? Oh, yes, give me that. I know he's going to be 38 on fight night tomorrow night. But even in his context, he's a young 38 in the way that he fights. I've had the privilege of talking to him on several occasions before his fights. And, guys, he's really cerebral in that he's going to plant some traps for Sean Strickland. Not saying Sean Strickland is not cerebral, but he's a fighter that's going to come forward. So you know what style you're going to get from Strickland. He's got a pressure. He doesn't have the reach advantage, so he's got to get inside Uriah Hall. And his last loss, Sean Strickland, they're both on four-fight win streaks here. He got KO'd by a spinning back kick. Uriah Hall is the king of the spinning back kick. So I look at a couple value plays. I do like Uriah Hall here at the plus money and also the under in 2.5 rounds here. I know it's about even money right now. To me, there's good value there because I think Strickland, the moment might be too big. All Uriah Hall knows are big moments. That's all he knows in this middleweight division. So I don't think he's going to rush Strickland. I think he's going to wait. And Strickland could make a mistake. I think this thing could be over inside of that 2.5 rounds there, which is right now split right in the main in the halfway part there of the main event, which is, of course, a 5-round fight.
So, Dave, can I interest you in some numbers that actually may be even better for you based off of what you're saying here? Right now, DraftKings, the round total is now 3.5. Even juice, both sides. So minus 115 on under 3.5. And this one might even intrigue you, too, on the total rounds. 4.5, the juice is only minus 150 on an under. So I would imagine we're speaking your language with both of those there, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, again, I just don't think that Strickland's a guy that can show patience because I do think this is going to be – it's a big spot for him, right? This is the fight he's got to impress. So he knows if he gets this win here and goes 5 in a row here in his last 5 fights, that maybe it catapults him into title contention. Uriah Hall is not going to fall for that trap. So, you know, he's not going to get faked for the banana in the tailpipe in this one. Watch for Strickland to make a mistake. There's something called adrenaline dump. It happens all the time with, he's not a young fighter, but still for this moment, he is. I could see that being a problem here. I'd be really surprised if he tries to pace this out and win a decision. I don't see it that way. Somebody's getting knocked out, and for my money, I think Uriah Hall can get it done earlier rather than later.
So then are you looking to any of the method of victory prices when it comes to Uriah Hall in particular?
Yes, because I do think he's a great counter striker, right? So Strickland, the only way he's going to win this fight is either if it goes the distance, yes, he can win a decision victory, yes. But he's going to get a knockout if he's going to win this fight. There's not going to be a submission. I don't see these guys going down to the mat. Somebody's going to get KO'd or TKO'd. I really think Uriah Hall in this one, watch for those spinning back kicks. I could see a scenario where a kick leads to a stoppage. And by the way, Uriah Hall has really good hands too. So if he plays that game with Strickland, I wouldn't advise it. It's Strickland's best pathway to victory here. But Uriah Hall is no slouch with the hands either. Somebody's going to get slept in this one. I see it by Uriah Hall with a spinning back kick and then finishing it off with the hands.
Dave Ross with us right now here on Primetime Action, talking this week's UFC card next week in Houston. UFC 265, a huge card, and one of the big fights KO'd because of COVID. Amanda Nunes testing positive earlier today, so that Nunes-Pena fight is off the card. But, Dave, you have two big names fighting this upcoming weekend, next weekend in Houston. Derek Lewis, of course, in the main event in the heavyweight fight, and then Jose Aldo, who we'll see in the now the co-main event. Any thoughts a week out on those two fights and anything else that may catch your eye in UFC 265 in Houston?
Absolutely. The reason why I wanted to bring this up a week early is you go, well, the fight's not till next week, right? You guys know, and I was out there, as you guys mentioned, and I had a blast being out there with everybody at VSiN, is that you saw the odds changing dramatically on fight week leading up to Conor against Dustin the Diamond Poirier, right? And so the money was going for Poirier all week long. I look at the Black Beast in this one, Derek Lewis, fighting at home, and right now you're getting him at about plus 245, plus 250. I think that number is going to come down as we get closer and closer to fight week. So to me, Ciryl Gane here in this main event here for the interim heavyweight championship is too big a favorite. And I think it's going to be adjusted before we actually get to fight night next Saturday night. So if you're a guy like me that believes that the Black Beast here has got a real chance because he's the best puncher not named Francis Ngannou in the heavyweight division, going up again, yes, I get it, Ciryl Gane's undefeated. But again, I just talked about it here with Sean Strickland, where you get into situations you're not necessarily equipped for. I wonder if this moment might be too big for Gane. So if you're a Lewis backer, I think the money's going to get shorter as we get the days get longer, we get closer and closer to the fight. I might jump on those numbers now. And then you mentioned Aldo. Right now, that fight does go up to the co-main event. He's a small favorite over Pedro Munhoz in this one. That's going to be an unbelievable fight. And as much as I love Jose Aldo, one of my favorite fighters ever to watch in the UFC, I was surprised to see him still a small favorite here. So you might want to shop around because I think the sharp's going to come in on Munhoz in this one, and for very good reason. But you might want to start thinking about jumping in on those fights now before you wait until fight day. Because again, if you were the diamond backer, and again, it was a good way to be, last Saturday or two Saturday nights ago, but really the numbers got worse for you as the week went on. So I think the same thing's going to happen here. I look for a lot of money to come in on Derek Lewis, the Houston guy fighting at home for the interim heavyweight championship in front of his fans. I think that could be a spot right now. If you like the Black Beast, hop on it earlier rather than later.
He's Dave Ross. Get him on the tweets at D Ross Sports. If you're looking for the Cubs manager, don't tweet at Dave. Don't tweet at this.
I get
Dave.
It all the time.
Yeah, don't
trade anybody.
No, Dave Ross didn't. Dave Ross, Danny Graves did not trade anyone today on Stadium. Yeah. They just reacted to who got traded.
That's all we did.
And of course, you get Dave on Stadium as well. Dave, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. Good luck on your plays tomorrow night, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Anytime, guys. Always appreciate it.
Of course. Always great to catch up with Dave in Chicago there. Of course, at D Ross Sports, if you want more from Dave Ross. Adam Candy, the Major League Baseball slate tonight. As much as the trade deadline delivered, tonight's slate, other than the game in St. Pete, has been relatively sleepy so far.
Yeah, it's as though the trade deadline took the energy out of everyone, although you can look down to Miami as well. 1-0 the lead for the New York Yankees there. At least you have a game that is close, as you do at Citi Field, where the score is 3-1 in favor of the Cincinnati Reds in the seventh inning in Miami. Also, the seventh inning with Tyler Wade at the plate for the Yankees.
I will say this. We've talked about, again, can the Mets hold on in this division? Jacob DeGrom's going to be out until September now. They did get Javi Baez today, but the timing of DeGrom's bad MRI, it just horrible that for the Mets not being able to go out and make a deal for a legitimate starting pitcher. They tried with Jose Berrios with Minnesota, and Adam, we saw Minnesota just get a wildly good package from the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, Berrios under contract next year. But for our MSG Plus audience who may be Met fans, which includes yours truly here, it's actually all right now in the results that are going on in the NL East. The Pirates eviscerating the Phillies 7-0 in the sixth inning. And in what has been a wild game in Cobb County, the Braves are up 4-0. Now the Brewers have scored 8 unanswered, Adam, and have an 8-4 lead in the fifth inning. Braves all the way down to plus 900 in a game they were favored by $5 in earlier.
So much for our discussion of a potential under in that one between Juki Toussaint and Corbin Burns. Although our other lean, the over in the Tampa game, does get there. 7-3 lead for the Tampa Bay Rays. And that's a huge series if you're a Yankees fan as well, because you really want to see someone get swept one way or the other. You want to see someone come back to the pack a little bit. 2 out of 3 either way really doesn't do much for you. But keep an eye on what's going on in that series if you're a Yankee fan, especially considering your team just took 2 or 3 from the Rays. Maybe there's a chance they can make a run at them in the wild card.
We get back here on Primetime Action. We'll update you on what happened on the trade deadline. Again, trade deadline about 3 hours past now, but a lot of moving pieces. One of the more entertaining deadlines we've ever seen. I'll also update you on all the games going. We'll see if some runs can get scored in Miami. I'm going to lean towards the answer being no there with the way that one is going between the Yankees and the Marlins, even though Greg Allen's up at the plate right now. So if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen while we're on break, because Greg Allen has been awesome recently. That's next here on Primetime Action on VSiN and MSG+. Action rolling along here on a Friday night on VSiN and MSG+. I'm Jeff Parles, Adam Candy, Danielle Alvari, Ben Wilson here with you on what is, again, another rainy night here in Vegas. I think we've had more rain in the last 10 days than we did in the previous 5 years. Don't fact check me there, but I'm going to go with it, Adam.
Your meteorology skills are a little short of Mike Trout, but I'll live with it.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough there. Adam, let's go through what's going on the diamond right now, and we'll start with a few games we have not mentioned so far, and a few of them are just bad baseball teams playing each other. Baltimore 4, Detroit 1. That game is in the 8th inning right now. Danielle, did your over get there in the first 5, or did it come up short?
It did not. This one fell short. Yeah.
Got the run 1 inning too late, I would imagine, on that first 5 over. The Mariners, again, the Mariners still somewhat alive in this AL wildcard chase, are in Arlington tonight against the Texas Rangers, and it has been a bloodbath for Texas, 7-0 Seattle in the fourth.
You have to wonder if this is going to end up being like Major League 4, where the locker room gets so mad at ownership trying to tank the team that they make a run at it. Biggest news out of this one, Jared Kelenic homers off Colby Allard. Really, the best thing the Mariners could see the rest of this season is Jared Kelenic, their top prospect, hitting better than he did when he came up early in the year.
In St. Louis, the Twins, first off, actually, before I get to this game, the Cardinals, other than the Rockies, had the most bizarre trade deadline of anyone, where their strategy was, let's trade for 2 left-handed pitchers that aren't any good and totally over the hill, and J-Happ and John Lester today, Adam. And they have another left-hander who's old and over the hill, and Wade LeBlanc on the mound today. And the Twins have a 1-0 lead as they play in the top of the fourth inning.
Yeah, they had the bases loaded here, and then Polanco grounded out to second. Oh, I have the over in this game. I'm very upset. Thank you, Twins. Yeah, so hopefully we get some more runs here soon.
This was one of those games where I ended up not betting it because I'm not. I we're now close enough to football season where betting on bad teams is a thing I'm not willing to do unless if it's just such an absurd number. It nearly got there. I mean,
or the Yankees.
Hey, look, I haven't bet the Yankees much to begin with this year, but +144 close on the Twins is a pretty wild price when Wade LeBlanc is on the other side, Adam.
Yeah, I would love to know the last time Wade LeBlanc was that kind of favorite anywhere. Maybe when he first came up to the majors.
Maybe.
It's hard to believe in that spot. Indians and the White Sox.
Yes, here we go.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
So we have two really good play-by-play guys on this set tonight, Ben Wilson and Adam Candy. So at least one of you guys can properly describe what befell the Cleveland Indians earlier tonight.
Why don't I give this one to Ben? Because I think he's probably had more chances to see this. I just saw one quick replay.
All right, Ben, it's all you.
I like your wording of befell.
That's the best way to put it, right?
It's great. Well, look, I think everybody out there remembers the infamous Jose Canseco home run that he allowed, fly ball off the dome, over the wall. We had a very similar occurrence here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Let's just say that, 80 years from now, we'll be telling our grandkids about the Zimmer Johnson. That was the center fielder for the Indians, right fielder for the Indians as well, colliding, and they each managed to knock a ball hit deep into right center field, off the bat of Yoan Moncada, over the fence and out for a solo home run. The collision Canseco doink will now forever be known in the lore of Cleveland, Ohio as the Zimmer Johnson. And that's how Chicago got on the board tonight.
Adam. Oh, look at that.
Applause. And you know what I love most about Ben Wilson's call there? He actually went up on and out as though we were doing it right now. Like I felt like we were getting live action right there in the moment.
Well, again, the Ben Wilson's training of Misha High School Wrestling at Missouri Arena and I was trying to get
waffle boarding in there, but I couldn't figure out a way. I let everybody down.
Come on, you're the wrong sport now, Ben. Come on, you can't.
The Indians.
Cleveland, by the way, is actually winning.
Yeah,
this game
against Lance Lynn. Cleveland up 2-1 in the fourth. White Sox are still -150 live, +120 live total, 8.5 tracking pretty well with what we had pre-game. And again, we said earlier, the Indians kind of waved the white flag here at the deadline. This could have been a series that had something to do tangentially, at least with the division, as they're only 7 apart in the loss column, but Cleveland saw the writing on the wall.
Well, they were one of the smart teams this go around, and of course Terry Francona stepping away for health reasons the rest of the year. DeMarlo Hale taking over as the manager. And look, for Cleveland, as soon as Trevor Bauer got hurt this season, kind of got sunk, Adam. So we'll see if they bounce back next year as the Cleveland Guardians. That, of course, the name change coming as soon as the season ends. The San Francisco Giants and the LA Dodgers made probably the two biggest moves of the trade deadline. They're back in action tonight. We'll discuss their games next here on Primetime Action on MSG Plus and VSiN.
The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. Start your football season on the right foot with our expert analysis and picks for conference champions, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff teams, not to mention power ratings for every team. Now is also a great time to get your all-access VSiN subscription, including our college and pro football betting guides, along with everything else we offer for the entire football season. Get your college betting guide for only $19.99 or start your free all-access trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. Jeff.
Quick correction on my end. Of course, when I was talking about the Cleveland Indians now, I meant to say Shane Bieber,
yes.
not Trevor Bauer, who is not playing for different reasons right now for the LA Dodgers. Adam, speaking of the Dodgers, Max Scherzer is now a Los Angeles Dodger. Trey Turner is now a Los Angeles Dodger. We won't see Turner, at least for a little bit, because he's on the COVID IL. Scherzer, the expectation is he's going to throw a bullpen tomorrow and then start Wednesday of next week for his Dodger debut. And tonight, the gift of being one of the winners of the trade deadline is they get to go play in Phoenix tonight against the 32-71 Arizona Diamondbacks. And the Dodgers, Adam, on the road, a solid $2 favorite tonight there at Chase Field. as they will be sending Tony Gonsolin to the mound against Zach Gallen.
So I'm actually sort of surprised it's only $2, quite honestly, Jeff, with as bad as the Diamondbacks have been overall. Quick update, by the way, I want to get to from Miami. In case you were thinking about betting the Yankees live, Gleyber Torres was ejected from the game for arguing a called third strike that was roughly 3 to 4 balls off the outside corner of the plate. So DJ LeMahieu, who is injured, is into that game. Dodgers, of course, will not have that full set of reinforcements, as you mentioned, Jeff, going to Arizona. Don't you think the real interesting matchup is the one in San Francisco tonight, even though it's an interleague game?
So that's the matchup of the night, arguably, in baseball, period. You have Framber Valdez and Kevin Gausman. That's the Astros and the Giants. And this has been an interesting one to document on the way this has moved. Giants peaked at about minus 130 here. They were as low as about minus 115, now settling in at minus 123 on Gausman and the Giants. The one thing I will say, Adam, the total at 8.5, and I know we already got blown up a little bit on what we thought was a good total under that is already way over in the fifth inning in Milwaukee and Atlanta. 8.5, I don't play full game unders anymore because of the ghost runners and extra innings, but that total seems high at 8.5 with these pitchers on the mound.
It certainly does. Look, Framber Valdez has been a wizard in terms of inducing softer contact because his walk rate is through the ceiling this year, Jeff, and somehow has managed to throw to a 3 ERA, had 6 no-hit innings last time out. And so I understand why the Astros are a dog here. That being said, Kevin Gausman gets a real prove-it opportunity here against one of the best lineups in all of baseball. Giants should be energized with the addition of Chris Bryant here earlier today at the deadline. It'd be a lean for me playing a first 5 under. I'd be a little bit worried about those walks coming home to roost against Framber Valdez, though.
Ben?
We also have another game about to start. Danielle, you've got some action here. A's Angels.
Yep. Yes, run first inning. I actually added a bet as well. I added a no run in the first inning in the Astros and Giants, which is also starting in just a couple minutes.
Also, I also added a bet as well. I have
Come
to
on.
Add this in as well.
You want to let somebody know? Yeah, who can maybe put that on the air for us.
Yeah, so I added an in-game run line on the Mets getting a run and a half against the Reds, trailing 3-1.
Interesting.
Is there some juice on that there, Jeff? You can provide us?
Let me see what I ended up getting, because I tried to bet it at plus 104. It didn't go through, and then I think it went actually for me in a better number when I tried to bet it. Plus 117. There's some fun juice right there for you, Ben. Plus 117 on the Mets, plus a run and a half. When they were trailing 3-1, and they now have the tying runs on base against the Reds bullpen, which we know, Adam, is not any good.
This is accurate information, and we know that the Mets, look, you just mentioned it earlier, Jeff, they're in a spot where they know if they're scoreboard watching at all, they have a chance to put another game between themselves and much of this division here tonight. Amir Garrett is warming up. Not sure. Do you think if the Reds use Amir Garrett tonight, will he be ready for UFC tomorrow night?
Well, again, we know Javi Baez.
That's what I'm saying.
Javi Baez and Amir Garrett. That was just this week. The PJ Fleck would have been proud of the rowing of the boat that Javi Baez did after the walk-off, I guess technically walk-off single, even though the ball went 390 feet to the ivy there. But the Mets do have 2 on and 1 out. Givens, who they just acquired at the trade deadline, on the bump and struggling to find the strike zone here. I believe it's Pete Alonso looming right now, who has just been red hot out of the break, Adam.
That he has. One more game, by the way, coming up later tonight. Padres and the Rockies. You mentioned earlier John Gray going for the Rockies. Padres, even with Ryan Weathers, who hasn't been outstanding, going minus 210. We know how bad the Rockies have been on the road, Jeff. Is there any price that would be too big for you?
Here's the problem with this. When your best player has been scratched from the lineup because he is mad that he's still on your team, that is probably going to penetrate the rest of the clubhouse.
It's not ideal.
That's not what you're looking for there. So I would steer clear. And again, this is This is actually one of the rare times where Colorado actually will have a pitching advantage in San Diego against this team with John Gray against Ryan Weathers. But I just can't do it here.
I think, look, I play very, very few run lines, Jeff, but if I wanted to play this, I think the only way I could see getting involved is it even money on the run line with the Padres, because I don't want to pay minus 210.
It's just a no play. And again, this earlier in the day, if Trevor Story had been traded, I actually would probably look at Colorado, but I just can't do it. Again, I think it's going to be a toxic situation in what is already a messy situation to begin with in Denver.
We were mentioning that White Sox game earlier as well, the fact that they were down 2-1. They're now up 3-2 in the fifth inning. They moved to minus 450 favorites. They were minus 150 down 2-1 at the start of this inning. So the White Sox behind Lance Lynn getting things back in order in the game in which they had that weird double doink home run go in their favor.
You can't mention double doinks in Chicago, even if they go for the home team.
No.
Can't do that, Adam Candy. When we get back, the Olympics entered her second weekend, so we'll look at some events in the second weekend of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics happening in 2021, and it's going to be prop watch version of that. That's next here on Primetime Action on VSiN and MSG+.
For the DraftKings Sportsbook now and get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Simply download the app and use promo code VSIN to get started with the only top-rated sportsbook that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Jeff.
Danielle, let's go to Tokyo. We confirmed that Kelly Bidlin actually never made it to Tokyo, even though there were rumblings.
I don't think we got all the pictures yet.
Yeah,
we don't know what he's done.
Who knows? Maybe that was actually a countryside in Japan that he was taking his pictures at, Adam.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Hopefully for Kelly Bidlin. But Danielle, weekend number two of the 2020 games in Tokyo already underway. And there's a lot happening. As we know, the swimming concludes and the track and field takes center stage starting earlier today in Tokyo.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it, but Caleb Dressel, another gold for him and a world record for the 100-meter fly. So that going on in the swimming right now. And then as I was just telling Adam Candy, very exciting news, men's trampoline finals tonight as well, if that's something you're into. Unfortunately, not something that we can bet on. But that said, we can take a look at some odds here for the Olympic men's basketball. So here's kind of what the weekend schedule looks like here. We have Group A, Group B, and Group C up here. USA versus the Czech Republic. That's Saturday, 8 a.m. Eastern here. They're 23.5-point favorites, total sitting around 183. And then we have the rest of the board up there as well. We also have their basketball, or the men's basketball futures here. And United States sitting at minus 215 to win the gold. What do we think? Any of these matchups interest you, Adam Candy?
I'm going to defer quite honestly because I have not paid nearly as much attention to this as Jeff has. I will mention that at minus 215, for the USA to win the gold. Jeff, we talked to Drew Dinsick earlier this week, and he mentioned that that price was probably as good as you were going to see on the USA if you believe that they are going to be able to put it together to win the gold medal.
All right, I'm aggravated at myself because I screwed up on what time the France-Iran game started. I totally messed that up. I thought it was a 9:40 Pacific, not a 9 o'clock Eastern game, and I like the French laying all those points because after what we saw from Iran against Team USA, and France has looked really good in this tournament, of course, upsetting Team USA in the first game and then blowing the doors off of the Czech Republic in game two, who the Czechs only beat Iran by six. France is already up by 19 in that game approaching halftime. So that was one I looked at. And, of course, kids, if you want to bet something, make sure you bet it when you actually are thinking about it and don't have to host a three-hour show on VSiN.
Jeff, you only have to lay 31 and a half now. So
that's honestly not that bad, actually, all things considered. And the problem is France might take the foot off the gas pedal, and Iran, they're going to be eliminated unless if they come from 19 points down against France. And they will not be coming back from 19 points down in that one, guys.
Well, how about the U.S. and the Czech Republic, Jeff? Because that'll be before most folks tune into VSiN tomorrow morning. This thing gets going.
I'm going to steer clear. Look, I it all makes sense that Team USA would beat a really inferior team in the Czech Republic. They have one current NBA player in Sedoransky, who of course is a Chicago Bull, but. Again, do we want to lay that many points with Team USA? Of course, they just covered a ridiculously high number against Iran, closed 42.5, and it was not even a sweat in what was a complete beatdown in that game. But I'm not interested in laying that many points against the Czechs, who, again, they aren't any good, but they at least have the ability more than Iran to at least play within a number.
All right, well, we have the futures to win the gold medal available to discuss as well. And we mentioned earlier, there's the USA price at -215. Mentioned our friend Drew Dinsick said about as good a price as you'll get. Australia, Slovenia at 7, France at 8, Spain at 12, and then teams you probably don't want to get involved with after that, Jeff. We had this discussion a little bit earlier in the week, but has anything else that you've seen changed your opinion on someone having a shot to beat the U.S.?
So, hey, look, this is a really good number right now at -215, and you have to. I'll be curious to see how the draw impacts the numbers, because Team France is about to win the group. So the way they're doing it this year is they're seeding it a straight 1-8 based off a point differential and win-loss record, which is a little bit different than they've done in the past, mostly because it's they have three groups this go around as opposed to the two that they had in the past, where it would be straight 1-4, and basically Group A's winner would play Group B's fourth place team and vice versa down the board. But look, it'll be interesting to see how this is all seeded out, because if you're Team USA, you win in blowout fashion against the Czech Republic. Again, you're probably looking at the number 4 seed, which means you're going to get the loser of the Slovenia-Spain game more than likely in the first game, which if I'm Team USA, I'm hoping it's Spain. Even though historically Spain is the better international basketball power, they're old. And Slovenia has the best player in this tournament, the way that these allowed to play in Luka Doncic. So you look at the only other team I look at is Slovenia at 7-1 here, Adam. But the prospect of possibly playing Team USA in the quarters scares me a whole lot.
Well, you're certainly trying to avoid the favorite as long as is possible. Jeff, I do need to get one live update in for you here, because your New York Mets are not happy with your run line bet. The Reds have 3 consecutive hits here to go up 4-1, still with a pretty big threat going in this inning. Although, was that caught with a sacrifice fly?
Nimmo actually did make that play.
Okay, so sac fly.
So there is an out. The only problem is I got Anthony Bonda in the game right now, which is against the top of the order. My run line bet, the chase bet, is probably going out the window here, unless if the Reds bullpen goes full Reds bullpen in the ninth inning.
Yankees just added a pair after they loaded the bases, getting into the Marlins bullpen. I believe that's Rougned Odor,
sure,
with a 2-run single for the Yankees, making up for an earlier error that had put Jonathan Elizaga in a whole bunch of trouble. So the Yanks go up 3-1 as they have 3 games in Miami that they desperately need, as they are actually entering, Jeff, a much softer portion of their schedule here over the next couple of weeks. After seeing a lot of Boston and Tampa, they have a chance to use these new acquisitions to make up a little bit of ground when it comes to that AL wildcard race.
Look, if Anthony Rizzo is going to go there and hit immediately, and he's had a down year by his standards, the Yankees are a legitimate threat, to be a wild card for sure. They're already right in smack dab in the middle of the race. But, again, if Tampa sweeps, like you said earlier in the program, Adam, and Tampa's winning right now against the Red Sox, if Tampa were to sweep the Red Sox, then all of a sudden the AL East race gets a little more interesting than it would have if the Red Sox, let's say, even if they lose two of three in Tampa this weekend.
Well, the Red Sox are pointing everything toward that Chris Sale return in a week or two, and we'll see how that goes. Did you tell me, by the way, that you had an Olympic golf bet earlier today? Is that accurate information?
I had a matchup in round two that actually got home, and they are just about underway with the leaders just outside of Tokyo right now. Xander Schauffele with the lead at 11 under par. I actually faded Carlos Ortiz in the second round with Guido Migliosi of Italy, and there was a big weather delay outside of Tokyo at this last night here in the States. And I went to bed with a one-shot lead and actually got home with that matchup. But Ortiz at second right now at 10 under. The home game for Hideki Matsuyama, 9 under in third place alone. And then the Chilean Mito Pereira and the Swede Alex Noren at 8 under. Those guys about to tee off 10 minutes from now just outside of Tokyo. Ben, I'll bring you in here. Even at a short number of 4-1, two shots back, knowing Xander Schauffele's track record in big events, isn't Hideki Matsuyama the Masters champion worth a play here?
I mean, it's hard for me to disagree with that. And simply because we knew he would have the most pressure of basically anybody coming in with all the attention on him. And so I felt like the first two rounds would give you the best indication of where his mind was at and how he would handle the pressure. So to go out yesterday in the midst of, and he actually did not finish his round yesterday. He started, had the long weather delay, came back, suspended due to darkness, comes out this morning, birdies his final hole to get to 9-under, sure, for a solo third. No, I absolutely feel that he's in a really good position, and Xander's been striking the ball great. This is
yes.
But if you've watched any of this, this is a course that is incredibly gettable, especially with all the rain, very soft greens. So, yeah, for as much as I love Xander, the putting has just not been there. He's tinkered. He's tried different things. And at the price he's at right now, plus 160 feels pretty short to me. And you consider, too, comparing what we're seeing with Hideki Matsuyama out of the two South Korean players, Sung Jae-im, Siwoo Kim, who have so much at stake. If they medal, they avoid having to serve their military service for the country of South Korea. And both of them have been really up and down so far. Siwoo Kim 3-under to this point, and Sung Jae is 1-over par. So it's been a struggle for those two with an equal amount of pressure to Hideki.
Right now, also to Sepp Straka, who fired an 8-under in round one, still at 8-under, tied for fourth with Noren and Pereira. They are on the course. Right now, the only player who's really made a move, and it's not even a big move, is the guy I mentioned before, Guido Migliosi of Italy, who shot a 6-under in round two for 6-under on the tournament, and now is birdied number one to get to 7-under, but still four shots behind Xander there just outside of Tokyo. And Adam Candy, it's appropriate that I'm going to go out with a bet. The chase bet is not getting home here. Jonathan India homered for the Reds, and Anthony Bond is just getting blitzed in the ninth inning at 6-1 Cincinnati at Citi Field.
Second home run of the game, of course, for India after he homered off Carlos Carrasco on that first pitch. And missed opportunity here, Jeff, for the Mets tonight with the NL East struggling elsewhere for them to put a little bit more distance in. But Joey Votto, back at the plate, has homered in 7 straight games. This could be another fun at bat.
Adam, this was a fun 2 weeks.
Indeed it was, sir. Indeed it was.
The A team is back next week. Matt Brown, Gil Alexander, Kelly Binlin. Danielle will still be here as well, of course. For Ben Wilson, for Danielle Alvari, for Adam Candy, I'm Jeff Parles. This has been Primetime Action here on VSiN and MSG Plus. Next on VSiN, Tim Murray on a nightcap live at Circa. Enjoy your night, everyone.